I tell you what, God is in a good mood today.
Hallelujah.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
He is in a good mood. Most people today think God is mad at them, or he's sad over them, or he's out to get you. Believe me, if he was out to get you, he would have done got you.
Amen.
You may be good, but you're not that good. And God loves you, and he is glad over you. And I tell you what, you just have to let that sink in. Most people live in a rejection spirit with God the Father, and we're here today to re-represent him.
Yay.
Amen. And as you go out this week, you're here to re-represent who God the Father really is. Now, if you keep seeing me do like this, my ears have been stopped up for 3 days, so it sounds like I'm talking in a tunnel. So it's not like for you to listen up, huh? Well, that may be making it worse, but I've still been that way for 3 days. And so that is a little bit better. But so if you see me going like this, I'm just trying to get my ears to unstop. And so don't take it personally or I'm telling you to wake up. That may be necessary, but I'll let the Holy Spirit convict you or your wife. Amen. Either way. Today, we are going to talk about how to move from poverty to prosperity. It's going to be a different topic for me, and especially in the area of money. Last September, the Lord told me to speak on this subject now, so we're going to speak on it now. I'm going to speak on it next month. And because he is wanting to get you to a place of prosperity. And we're our own worst enemies many times. And there is a component that God does, and there's a major component that you do, and we're going to talk about what you do and what I do to get ourselves in a position of prosperity. There has to be a mental change, and there has to be physical changes that you live out in your life. He wants to position us into an area of prosperity financially. Now, we know that it says that I pray, Paul says, I pray that you prosper body, soul, and spirit. And we know that he wants you to have a healthy body. He wants you to have a healthy, a renewed mind. He wants you to have healed emotions, especially from bad things that have happened in the past. He wants to heal you. And those are all valid subjects. But we're going to talk today especially about prosperity because Christians are bound by not by being in a spirit of poverty that they cannot do the will of God. And we have done it to ourselves. And today I want to cast vision. I want to cast a bigger picture of your destiny of where you can be. You have to embrace it with your mind. Start meditating on it. Start getting around it. And then start making physical changes. Now, I'm going to do this about as fast as I can. I speak twice in Calhoun, once here, and I just spent 2 weeks on this same subject in Calhoun. We will not be able to do that much today, so if I talk fast, it's because I'm trying to work this in. Is that okay? But get ready, because I'm telling you, it is a mental thing first. I know that let me put it this way, the gospel is free. It is not cheap to get it to you. The gospel is free, but it takes money for you to read a Bible. I mean, leather Bibles are like $60, $70 now. It is those kind of things. And so the gospel is free, but he wants to bless you so much that his message can flow through you to bless other people.
Yes, sir.
And then they go, what is this prosperity in your life? And you're able to bless them in many different ways. And God is wanting to get you in a position of prosperity because you need it to get to where you're going.
Amen. Right.
Most Christians are bound in doing the will of God because they do not have the financial margins to make it happen. Well, Craig, you can't stop the will of God. Oh, yes, you can. I've been on many missions trips where I knew someone should go on a missions trip or form their own business. This has happened. I've known people, it was God's will for them to form their own business. Well, let me tell you, it costs $600 just to get incorporated, to get a piece of paper. That's not counting everything else. And there are many businesses, people that God is raising up to flow finances through to bless you, to bless your family, and to show the kingdom of God blessings all around them. But sometimes I've seen these people can't even get $600 together to form the business. Even if it's God's will, God doesn't drop business licenses and incorporation papers out of heaven. So it is key. Is that too blunt? I'm going to be blunt today because we're just going to fly on through this thing. God, and so this is something we're going to work on this whole year.
Amen.
All right? This is not a one-week thing. We're going to start because we have to get ourselves positioned so that you can inherit the promises. You have to be in the right position to get prosperity. God is not a socialist. If you live in America, and if you're under 50, you have on you, and if you're over 50, most of you, but you're definitely under 50 if you haven't dealt with it, there is a spirit of entitlement and consumerism that comes on you because you live in this country. And I see it. Those that are 30 and under, it is sad. I work in a company. I help hire and fire people. I see those that, if this is not you, don't take it personally. I'm just talking generally. If those that are 30 and come in and think we owe it to them to pay them a high salary. We owe it to them to give them large vacation packages. It's never happened to us, but I've read in HR companies, the largest HR companies had a major human resource conference last year. These are secular conferences of how to deal with people 30 and under in their businesses because they come in with a sense of entitlement. Entitlement is this: I am entitled to that. It is not God, and it will ruin your life. And you cannot bring it over into the spiritual realm. God on the cross gave us major things. But he also says in the Psalms 115:16, the heavens belong to me, the earth I have given to you. And he comes along in parallel with you. And he says, this is how I will bless you in your life. And you walk up this way, I will bless you because it opens doors for me to walk through. He cannot bless. It is very hard for him to bless things if we're going off in a way that he won't go. But if we got our part and we got his part. And as we go, Father, I want to walk my life according to the principles of you. And he goes, good. That's something I can agree with. And he comes along and does what the military calls a force multiplier. That means it's more than just one person coming along. He comes along and multiplies it and takes it. Everyone, as a general rule, that has been blessed and is prosperous in the financial realm, they have followed biblical principles even when they weren't a Christian. The Jews are some of the most blessed group on the earth. Is it luck? No. We don't have time to go into it, but you study their lives from the time they're raised. They are trained in biblical financial principles that even though they're not Christians, they are still a blessing on their life. The good news is you take that, you can take those same biblical principles and be blessed, and it will go even further because you're spirit-filled and you got God on your side and it can be a force multiplier. God is wanting to raise up in the Christian community in this area radical, sold-out Christians that handle millions of dollars that he can trust with. We have to see that. And we have to move from an entitlement mentality. God, you can go and buy a lottery ticket. And that spirit is over the church. I hope to strike it rich someday. And if you buy lottery tickets, that's fine, but it's really a waste of money. This is true. You are more likely to get struck by lightning than to win the big lottery. It's a true statistic. And that's fine. You can buy them all day. I'm not saying that's wrong. But we move that into Christianity. I hope one day a big check from God comes into my mailbox. Am I being too blunt? This is how you have to realize this is how God works. God will always provide your needs. You never have to worry about that. But how many of us want to just live with our needs being provided? That part takes us to agree with Him. There are more Christians on welfare, food stamps, Medicaid than ever. There is a place for safety nets. I'm not against that. But if we're living our life from that and make our plans on that, we will never, listen to me, we will never, you will never move into prosperity. You will only have your needs met and you will survive from month to month. That is not God's will. As He wants you to be blessed in your body, as He wants to be blessed into your soul, I'm telling you today, there is a place for every one of you. He says if we change our minds from it's a partnering with the Father, and we're not entitled to this beyond our needs, beyond that safety net, if we partner this, He will raise up business people. He will give you creative ideas. It is not based on education. He can move you past. Steve Jobs, or Jobs, just recently died, worth almost $10 billion, and he did one quarter of college. Bill Gates is the richest man in the world, if you count what was he put into his foundation of over, he had at one time was worth $90 billion. He just put $45 billion into his foundation, a charitable foundation, and he had 1 year of college. It is not based on education. Bill Gates, back in the late 70s, he said, I was in my dorm room, and I had a vision. This guy is not a Christian. I had a vision that every home could have a PC. This was in the late 70s. Now most homes have several PCs. And I knew it was the right vision. I quit school to move out and to go after it. Because I knew if I had it that strong, other people had it that strong. I'm telling you, that was a God thing. Even though he wasn't a Christian. I personally think, I can't prove it, he probably spoke to a bunch of Christians beforehand and said, I want to be a force multiplier with you because this is a good thing that will spread the gospel around the world, make people's lives easier, make information more democratic, but I couldn't get Christians to move out of the poverty mentality into the prosperity mentality, and those kind of things are still waiting to be birthed if we change our mind from one of entitlement. If we wait around for something to happen, 20 years from now, you're going to be waiting around for something to happen. Amen. What we do is push in and say, Father, why am I here on this earth? It is not just to survive from paycheck to paycheck. It is to be a blessing. I love the stories, and I've had it happen to me personally. You know, I go somewhere, and I'm totally out of money, and somebody pays for my gas, or somebody gives me a meal, or something like that. That is good. That's God. And I appreciate those people that heard the voice of God when I had nothing to come along and fill my gas tank and give me a meal. But that is awesome. That's God meeting my needs. But I do not want to stay there. This is where I want to be. I want to be the person filling your gas tank. Yes, I want to be the person bringing you your meal.
Hallelujah. Come on. Amen. Yes. Yes. Amen.
And there are times we need those safety nets. There's nothing negative about it. But if we're careful, if we're not careful, we'll move into, I am entitled to this for the rest of my life. Well, maybe you will in our system, but you'll never, the system is also geared to keep you at that level for the rest of your life. And so the first thing we have to do as Christians is we have to rebuke the entitlement lottery mentality that is over this country. Because God is not a socialist. And if you don't understand that word, go Google it and learn it. We need to be up on our politics. Let me give you the scriptures from the parable from the Gospels to show you that God is not a socialist. He is a blessing, but He's coming along. He's made you in His image. That means you are to create like He created. He made you with a part of Him inside of you, which is created to do stuff, and He wants to move alongside of you, activate that, and propel you forward. But we have to have a mindset, I'm here today, I've got to do what I'm going to do, but I'm moving forward with God and praying for ideas and wisdom and implementation of how to get there. Amen. You remember the story, the masters came to three servants and said, I'm giving you 10 talents. A talent is a type of money. It depends on theologians, it varies. They don't quite know what a talent was, but it was at least a month's wages. Some people say a year's wages. Some people say a day. It's really sort of hard to tell. Let's just take a month. Gave somebody 10 months worth of salary and set in another servant 5 months and another servant one talent 1 month. And he said, I'm going off to do business and do something with this and I'll make records when I come back. He gave them money, went off, and said, I want to see what you can do with it. It's the same way with us. Your Father has given you physical talents, mental talents, and has given each of you money. Well, I'm just getting a check from the government, or I make minimum wage. It's still money. You may be the one talent. How many of you know where this story's going? He came back, and the master represents the father. And he came to the person that had 10. He said, look what I did with this. I caused it to grow. Now, over this year, on and off, the Lord said, do practical stuff all this year. And this is practical. We're going to do this on and off. Most Americans, including Christians, because we're a reflection of our culture, are financially illiterate. Now, if I'm too blunt, I'm sorry. But if you'll listen, you'll be set free. You don't have to go to lunch with me. Just apply the word. Most Americans know how to spend it. They do not know how to grow it. So what do you got to do? You got to get the skills. If I came to Gary here and gave him $100, don't answer, it's just an illustration, and said, I want it to grow, would you know how to grow it? I don't know. See, that's the first thing we got to learn. This is just a starter. You got me? How would you grow it? This is the same problem they had. Don't get into condemnation. Be challenged and going, I'm going to get good at finances so that I can be a channel for God to give me more and that more can come out of me. Yeah. He came to the one with 10. The guy with the 10 grew it. The guy with 5 grew it. I don't know what they did. He didn't go into that much details. You know, the basic thing, and then the basic thing you can do is at least put it in a passbook savings account and get 2% interest. It's not much growth, but it is growing. That's a start. He came to the guy that was poor, that was making minimum wage. Now, I know this is harsh, but we got to get out of this mentality that the government that is over this country, or you're going to stay here. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to set us free. Amen. He came to the guy that was poor, that had 1/10 of the 1%. If you've been following the news, you know what I'm talking about. Had nothing. 1 talent. And he came to him and said, have you been a good steward with your 1 talent? And he says to Craig Cooper, have you been a good... See, I told you my name was Cooper. You're just now connecting it, aren't you? You got it. And he said, Craig Cooper, have you been a good steward with what you've had? But Father, it takes everything I have to live on. He didn't ask that. Doesn't matter if you have 1, 5, or 10. He is looking for good vessels to pour money into that takes care of our needs, but also grows and takes care of the people around us, where it doesn't become a lake in us, where it's just stagnant water, but it flows through us. Yes. So he says to the guy that's 1, that's on in the unemployment line or making minimum wage, that has barely making it, and the guy goes, no. Now, the guy knew enough not to spend it. He just hid it. Oh, Craig's not even that good most of the time. Most of the time I'm going, yeah, I've got a 0.5 talent left. Or 0.25 talent. Are y'all hanging with me? He at least was wise enough to hit it, but he came back with no growth. That means he didn't know how to multiply. So he was doing better than Craig does most of the time, because I would have done spin it. How many of you can say yes? Because I'm poor. What does he do? This shows you he's not a socialist. He's not mean. He gave him 1 talent. But with everything God gives you, there's a responsibility that comes with it. And an authority. We want more authority. We got to be more responsible. You don't get more authority in God's kingdom without being more responsible. So what did he do? With a guy that was 10... that was responsible, he said, now I'm going to make you a governor over 10 cities. Authority came from responsibility. So it's not just about money. Money is a reflection of the principles that we live our lives by inside. Can we steward ourselves enough to steward the money? Or does the money steward us? You know, if you're good at this, is when money comes in, you don't spend it. Like you get, say, $1,000 back on tax refunds. That's that time. And you don't spend it. You can hold on to it or do something. You're thinking, okay, what can I do to grow this thing instead of the next large screen TV I don't have anything, Lord, against that. But it's the mentality. Is my mentality a one of being a consumer or a producer? And don't get condemned. We're going to pray that God's going to start shifting that in us. Because what did he do? The guy with five talents gave him five cities. The guy with one talent, the guy that we feel sorry for him in some ways. God said, you could not even steward one talent. I'm taking it from you and giving it to the 1%. I'm giving it to the guy with 10 talents.
Hallelujah.
All right? That's heavy. That's heavy. And God is moving us. Was it about the one? It was about the five? It was about the 10? No, it was about a mentality.
Amen.
If God wants to move me from being 100% consumer to a hunt to you got to consume. You got to buy food. You got to do that. I'm not against that. You know? But also, why do I have this money? It's bigger than just me. And it's to get me in a position to do the will of God. Now today, I'm going to give you a practical plan that we've taught here for years. When you see this practical plan, some of you are already way beyond it because you've gotten a part of this. Some of you, it's going to be a challenge, but do not get overwhelmed. Almost every time when I hand this out, people cut me off and they just go glazed-eyed. Because it's so far from maybe where they are, I don't want to do that today. I want to make a difference a year from now, and we go back, we're moving towards that goal. We're moving towards that goal. You got me?
Yes.
And, you know, those that have been here around a lot, we call it the 10-10-80 plan. And we're going to talk about it today because it will radically, if you will apply it, I'm telling you, it will radically change your life, not next month, but next year and 10 years from now. I call it the 10-10-80 plan. John D. Rockefeller, who was the richest man at the end of the 1800s. And if he was here today, it'd be worth approximately what Bill Gates would be because of the power of inflation. Have you ever heard of the Rockefeller family? Rockefeller Oil is eventually bought by Standard Oil. He's the richest man on earth. He was a very much of a non-believer. Somebody asked him, he said, what is the success? What do you attribute your financial success to? Because let me tell you this. Let me back. Well, he said this. I give 10% to charitable organizations. I save a minimum of 10% and I live on 80%. That is biblical principles. And it's exciting. Now, the latest figures I saw was about 3 years ago. Guess what the average American spent of their income coming in? That's your paycheck. Yeah, what I saw was about 103%. Well, how can you spend 103% on what's coming in? I know we're doing math, but hang with me. Where'd that other 3% come from? Say it louder. We overspent by 103%. So what's going to happen if you're making $100,000 a year? I'll pick $50,000. It's probably more realistic. Making $50,000 a year and you overspend 3%, that means at the end of the year, you're $1,500 more in debt than when you started. How many can say that's not going in the right direction? The goal as a minimum is to give 10% to the Lord off the top, 10% into savings, and live on 80%. Now, most Americans, this is a challenge, but you as people in this church and me as your pastor, we're going to work towards it. Amen? Because there are people here that have great business ideas that's going to need $1,500 just to get incorporated. Not counting what it may cost to get that business. You got me?
Yes, sir.
And you know it's God, and I know it's God, but you can't move. Now, you could borrow $1,500 from somebody that may or may not give it to you, but what? You're now $1,500 in debt. It's not all up to you. God will give us the ideas, but He also gave you, listen to me, the fruit of the Holy Spirit of self-control to help get you there.
Yeah.
The reason we have overspending is because we're not walking in the power of the Holy Spirit with self-control.
Amen.
And let me tell you my two things. I love sports cars. I don't have one now. Those that know me for long years, I've had one. I do not take Car and Track, Road and Track magazine anymore, Car and Driver. Why? It creates desires in me to spend more than what I have. I learned years ago, Susan and I, when we were dating, we'd walk through malls. We were in Atlanta, so they had some great malls, sort of like the Hamilton Place Mall. We'd walk through those. Why? Because we were poor, and it was a great way for a cheap date, and you'd eat at McDonald's. And we knew we didn't have any money, and I didn't have a credit card. Today, we do not walk through the malls for dates because I have a credit card, and I don't have enough self-control to say to my wife or my kids, no, because I'm just a softy. You know what I'm talking about? So what I got to do is not put myself in those positions. Can y'all say amen? Why? Not to be a curmudgeon, not to be a Scrooge, but to put something off to the side for an event that will really change my life instead of just another pair of jeans. Several years ago, we went to the Dominican Republic, and there was a couple people that wanted to go. And I knew they could go. I knew it would bless their life. I knew it would change them, but they did not have the $800 to go. One person I knew really needed to go. I went and asked Chuck and Mary Ellen, would you please support this guy to go? And they did. Somewhere they'd been saving. But that was the blessings of God. That was the mercies of God. But I don't want to count on that on a regular basis because it's just a needs thing. It is not wrong to be prosperous if you're in control of the money and the Holy Spirit is helping you to be a good steward of the money instead of just spending on yourself. There are many people that have probably, I know, have made as much as Steve Jobs did. He died with $10 billion in the bank. He was known for being an incredible saver. There are people that have made that much. The Hunts have made that much out of Texas with their silvers. They don't have it now. Just because it flows through you doesn't mean you can hold on to it. It's only those that can hold on to it which requires vision of what to do with it and self-control to hold on to it that make a difference. So it goes together. And so what we do is we say, Father, help me to start where I'm at. Next time I teach here in a month, I want every one of you to know your percentages. If you don't know your percentages, you are being dictated by the circumstances instead of overcoming your circumstances and knowing where to go. It may be depressing. You may cry for a week. I spent 104%. That's okay. This is what you do. You say, Father, help me to have wisdom of knowing what to buy, how to buy it, when to spend it, what to spend, to get down to 100% that I'm not any more in the red. And then start backing it down. 1% to 1%, 2% at a time.
Amen. Yeah, God did.
Well, it's just such a big job. You will still be here in 20 years if you don't do the big job now.
Yes. Amen.
By then, you may have the IRS following you and credit agencies and gone through a couple bankruptcies and repos. Am I being too blunt? I'm being a good shepherd to bring us into green things. Because I know he wants to make several people worth a lot of money in just this congregation.
Amen. That's right.
But it will not drop out of heaven.
No.
He is not a counterfeiter. He doesn't make dollar bills with new serial numbers on it. He will give you the financial wisdom to figure out how to get there. Amen. It says in Proverbs that a wise man leaves a inheritance for, and it's talking about money, for his children's children. Ooh, that's big. A couple things. It's big enough to last two generations. And secondly, they've trained the next generation to not spend it all. There's a lot of components there. And it's going to happen. I'm excited about it. And the first step is figure out your percentages. Go to God and do this. Number one. This is harsh. Y'all ready? Repent of presumption. Say, Father, I am sorry for doing my own finances. I am sorry. I repent of no self-control. I repent of consumerism. You know what that is? That's being a consumer. I repent, whatever applies. And I have to do this all the time. I repent of this entitlement mentality that the government or somebody else is to take care of me. He will let the government take care of you, but you will never be prosperous, and that God will give you all they can give you. In the next few years, that God's going to go bankrupt. Does that make sense? Now's the time to start realigning our finances. If you're on the government, that's okay. Keep doing what you're doing, but Father, show me a way to get off of it, or you will still be there when you die. That's blunt, but it's the truth. And God will get you there. Now, this is a big deal. The number one thing you can do, this is the number one thing you can do to reduce financial stress in your life is to get 6 months' salary in the bank. It used to be three. I used to preach it as three. But with the economy the way it is and so many jobs going up and down, it needs to be 6 months. That's a big deal. I know it's a big deal, but make that your first goal. Don't worry about investments. Don't worry about stocks. Don't worry about anything. The first thing is to get 6 months' salary in the bank. So if you bring home $3,000 a month, you need what? $18,000 in the bank. That's a lot. But think of this. Most people are in debt because when the car transmission goes out and it costs you $1,800, or the air conditioner goes out and costs you $3,000, what do we got to do? You got to have a car. You're in the South. You basically got to have an air conditioner. It goes on the credit card. Right? Now, I'm not saying don't do that if that's where you're at. But let's believe for a place where we could pull from our 6 month salary, pay that thing off, and keep moving forward. And what we would have paid for the credit card is back to moving towards the 6 month salary. Well, how do I start? Bring your financial back down to 100%. That means you're going to have to take detailed records of what you spend and start analyzing it and go, well, I could cut lunch here by half, by not. Me and my family, we go out to eat once a week. We've done that for years. That's all we can afford. It's always usually after church on Sunday. About 9 months ago, we stopped getting drinks. We get all water. Why? Because for a family of five, that's about $11 just for colas. I'm giving you a practical example. If you can afford the colas, go for the colas. I don't have a problem. Get your supersize. It's for me. So that's $11 times four. That's $44 a month. That right there, if I saved that $44 a month and put it in savings, it's not much, but I'm starting moving up. It's not quite 1%, but it's getting there. Most of us back off to 100%, figure out how to do it. It will take self-control, and it will take patience to build prosperity. That's the other fruit of the Holy Spirit. And start doing that and figure out how to save, get down to 100%, figure out how to save 1% and give 1%. That's what I tell people. Save 2% and give 2%. And start doing that. And when you get 6 months' salary in the bank, you will be so financially stressed gone off your life. You get 1 month in the bank, you will see a major difference. I'm so stressed all the time. Well, if you're spending 103%, you will be stressed. It's called living from paycheck to paycheck. Am I helping you? Well, where do I start? You just go to 100% and start backing off and moving that way. When you get 6 months' salary in the bank, then you can start looking at investing and all that other stuff. But not till then. Let me tell you, this is a big deal, especially in this economy going up and down. You got to be wise. You can be gentle as doves, but wise as serpents. We live in the economy we live in. I've done this for the most part on and off in my life. I've always done the 10%, usually a lot more for giving. I've not done as well in the savings because that was just not imparted to me till the last maybe 7 or 8, 10 years. Just didn't have a vision for it. For those of you that are young, pay attention. If I had put 10% of my salary into an IRA or 401k when I was 25, today I would be worth probably $700,000 or $800,000 at 51 years old. Because of compound interest. I did not know to do that. I did not understand. I did not have the financial literacy. So for you, pay attention. Do audit. If you work for a place that has 401k, take out the 4 or 5% maximum as a minimum and don't touch it. That's a big deal. And that puts you in a place. And so let me tell you just the way it was. Is 3 years ago, I was working at a company. And they came in and laid off our whole department. It was out of the blue. It was the first month of the recession. Actually, the second month. It was extremely hard to get a job, and I'm fairly skilled. 6 months later, I got a job. Now, I had enough in savings to live for 6 months. You think of your thing. Do you have $18,000 in the bank or whatever it is take you to live? Took everything I had, but at the end of it, I did not lose anything. I didn't go into debt anymore, but I was zero. That's a big deal. It's not fun, but it was a big deal. Didn't lose my car, didn't lose my house, didn't lose anything like that. You got me? Now, I'm still at zero. The reason I'm at zero is the next 6 months I got a job, making 37% less than I did 6 months earlier. And during that time, I started bleeding red a little bit, which means going into debt. But because I had never lived on 100%, I was able to get through it. If I'd been living at 103%, everything would have been gone. And it would not have been God's fault. Is that too harsh? He would have provided for my needs, but a lot of what I had was not needs. But because I've been following some biblical principles, we could take the time, but I don't think you need it. All through scriptures, it talks about saving. It's a biblical principle. Why? Because he knows the ups and downs of economies. I finally got a job 6 months. I had that job for 6 months. So it was a year after I was laid off. I finally got another job I've been at for 2 years, making 21% less than I did before I got laid off. How many of you could take a 21% pay cut? It's tough. It's hard. I've saved almost nothing since then, but I've been able to hold it. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm just being practical and vulnerable to help you know how this thing works. Now, I'm not going to stay here. I'm constantly praying, Lord, give me better jobs to get back up where I was. Amen. Or help me to figure out how to cut it. Because it's not just cutting. Cutting is the first step, but it's also praying, Lord, how do I increase? The problem with increasing is most of us spend 103% of what we've increased. And God's going to say, I'm not going to give you more because you're just going to spend more. I'm going to give it more to Gary over here because he's going to live on 80% of it, and 20% is freed up for the kingdom of whoever I may have him deliver meals to or give to missions or whatever. He's a steward. If you had $100,000 to invest, would you give it to the guy that would spend $103,000? No, you're going to find somebody. You're going to make sure he doesn't starve, but you're going to give it to the guy. You get the principle. That's how God thinks. He does not think like our government enables us to believe. I'm not against our government, but it's not biblical principles. Y'all catching? It's quiet in here, but I take that as good. And so the first step, next month when I come, I'm not going to ask you. If I know you will well, I may ask you, but I'll just be a few. What's your percentages? I know exactly what my percentages are. My savings percentage now is like a half of 1%. It's almost nothing. I'm making a token effort. But it's been 2 years, and I haven't quite figured out how to get cut down 21% pay cut. You follow what I'm talking about? But it's not going to be there. Because God's going to give me ideas to increase that. God's going to get, and he knows I'm a good steward with that. Y'all know we have two adopted kids. You know that grace, see, it says that true and undefiled religion is what? Take care of the widows and take care of the orphans. That means we've got to be gracious, right? How many of you know that is not free? You know how much it costs us to do grace? We had to do 2 trips to Bulgaria. This is counting travel expenses. 2 trips plus our government that makes us pay to adopt kids. And their government, and it's just a big handout, you're taking a kid off a state orphanage site, keeping them from supporting them the rest of their life, but you got to pay to do that. It cost us $25,000 for grace to do that, to adopt her. That's counting travel expenses for 2 people over there and then 3 back. That's cool. I'm very happy to do that. But where'd the money come from? Putting away 10% to expand the kingdom down the road. It doesn't all come to the church. Y'all follow what I'm talking about? And so many of you have a vision to do great things. And you're going to do them, but you got to get in a position to do those great things. When y'all just come into this building, I'm not trying to lay a gate trip on, I'm trying to lay a vision on you. Susan and I, when we came here over 15 years ago, I had a vision of starting a church. This is how we started. For 1 year before that, we just prayed. We came here. We were not a part of church. We put all of our money into a fund to start the church. We knew God would bless it, but at the same time, we had to do our part. So we came here. At that time, we were tithing $750 a month. And so me being the man of, because she was working too, me being the man of faith and power, all I could believe for was rent that was $650 a month and hope that the utilities didn't go over $100 a month. I didn't know if anybody was coming. I didn't grow up here. We just came here and started it. And so we looked around, said, Father, this is what we believe for. And he gave us, this part wasn't a part of the building. We were back over here in these classrooms when we started. This was a machine shop or something. And so that part at that time was $650. So it matched. He took us right up to the limit. I said, all right, I have faith to pay for this. You see the dynamic there? He'll give you the vision to start something, but at the same time, there's a part of it we have to own. But there's a part he has to come back along. But over that year, we had saved $10,000, and that's what paid for all of the repairs when we came in. It was all gone, but it got it going. And then he brought in more money. We've been here over 15 years later, and it's been great. He wants to do the same thing for you. Well, Father, bring me the $650 a month. Bring me the $10,000. If you're not in a position to do it, he will. But keep in mind, there's always our part. Why? Because he's training you to be the sons and daughters of God that know how to handle things and multiply them. He said, out of his word, let there be light. He's going to do the same thing. Out of what I've already given you, there's gold there. But we have to break the poverty mentality of spending everything we have. Now, understand there's special circumstances like mine. I'm basic. I'd be blunt with spending everything I got right now. Not been that all of my life, but it will change. But I know this mindset in the back of my mind. And when I get my tax refund back, I'm going to take $1,000 of it, basically most of it, and I'm going to put it towards something to try to increase it. It's a different mentality. The Lord wants to change us that way and move us that way. Now the 10%, well, let's don't even go there. That's enough for today. We'll talk about next month. Let's stand. I'm going to pray over you. Because I am here as a pastor and as a friend. I want fat sheep.